This episode of the DubDub Review is sponsored by the Theme Park Brothers. Are you looking for YouTube videos that feature some of the great holiday decorations at the Walt Disney World Resort? Check out their recent footage of the Magic Kingdom and Hollywood Studios. Are you looking for resort walkthroughs? Well, check out their recent footage of the Saratoga Springs, including a boat ride to Disney Springs. Are you looking for some YouTube videos that feature a Disney Cruise Line? Well, check out their full walkthrough as well as their 7-day adventure on the Disney Fantasy Cruise Line. Again, that's the Theme Park Brothers on YouTube. Hello, welcome to the DubDub Review. I'm your host, Chris Malik, and I'm joined with my regular group again, my co-host Peter. Pete, how you doing?
I'm doing.
You're doing. And Stacy Nyman. Stacy, how are you doing?
Absolutely lovely.
Lovely. We are getting close to the Christmas spending season, and my bank account's getting lighter as we speak. But wanted to ask you guys a question. Do you remember on our last show, what I was really thankful for was essentially businesses and people that was inspired by Disney and used Disney for their own product line? Do you remember that towards the end of the show?
Yep.
All right. So I want to introduce you to a special guest today. So I've been drinking his coffee for quite some time. As a matter of fact, I've got 5 different blends upstairs right now. And I wanted to introduce to you the owner. Is that the correct way to say that, Eric? Owner, proprietor, roast master. Tell me how to properly introduce you.
Owner, proprietor. Either way, that's what we usually use.
His name is Eric Cantor, and essentially Eric's company is Trader Sam's Coffee. Thank you for joining us, Eric.
Well, thank you guys, Chris, Peter, Stacy. Glad to be on.
Excellent. We've got a bunch of questions, and really it was fueled by your coffee, because I ended up picking up your coffee just on a whim. I happened to see your ads on Instagram, I guess your posts on Instagram, on Facebook, and I thought, before I even tasted your coffee, you've got some of the coolest artwork for your bags, and that's really what caught my eye. And I got to say, though, honestly, your coffee's fabulous. Your banana-flavored Skipper's Brew, and I probably said that wrong. Your cinnamon bun flavored coffee is awesome. Your praline flavored coffee is awesome. So I had to speak with you. So give me your backstory. What do I need to know about you?
Well, we've been around for about 3 years now. And originally we started as Smiling Dog Coffee. We've got some friends and family that are involved in animal rescues. And they really run off of just donations. And we thought it'd be a great idea to put together kind of a coffee line where we can give back and donate a portion of every sale back to them. And that's kind of how we originated and got into the coffee business. And after, you know, a little over a year, we decided we wanted to also expand and bring on our love of Disney. I'm a big Walt Disney historian myself, besides love of the parks. So me and my wife decided to kind of rebrand a little bit, and we changed over to Trader Sam's Coffee Company and kind of expanded from there. What we wanted to do was also do something a little bit different, kind of Disney themed, where, you know, Walt kind of created the whole theme park experience, and we wanted to kind of do something that with coffees. So we came up with this themed coffee idea where we would bring on artists that would create, you know, these just really cool artwork for our bags, and throw on, you know, a neat little story on the back of the bags, as well as, you know, having a premium grade coffee. So it brought on the whole taste, smell, you know, and sight as well. So kind of, you know, enveloping all your senses together. If we can bring on something that we could throw in there that it plays music or something when we open the bag, we could hit all 5 senses.
So you mentioned to me about rescues. So do you currently, you know, when I was researching it, do you currently have rescue dogs yourself, Eric, at this point?
Yes, we have two right now, and you know, we're fostering here and there as well. And like I said, we still do give back to our rescue partners, and as well as some veterans groups that we partner with here and there.
We're like kindred spirits, and I kind of actually set that question up because I knew the answer, but I'm a rescue myself. I should say I've been rescued by dogs myself. So I've had as many as five, four of which were rescues, and currently I have three that are rescues at the house too as well. So we share that in common as well. So fabulous.
Chris, you can't refer to the kids as rescues anymore. I told you that. Yeah. Come on, man.
That's a great placement, Pete. Good job, buddy. Tell me, the motivation, though, for changing the Trader Sam's, the actual name, when did that occur? How did that – what was the moment where you decided to go from Smiling Dog to Trader Sam's?
We have a whole bunch of kind of natural-flavored coffees, and a lot of them, you know, kind of lend themselves to different themes – especially when we were looking at the banana flavor, and I'm like, that would be a great, you know, Jungle Cruise type coffee.
Yeah.
And that kind of got us, you know, thinking from there and kicking back some ideas, and we decided just to go for it and do a whole rebranding and, you know, started with about five different coffees for Trader Sam's, and now we're up to about 11, and we're always bringing on, you know, more every couple of months.
You know, I know you bring on more because I participated in your contest last year, and you probably wouldn't even remember this. You had it. Well, you would remember my entry, of course. You had a great contest. It was for, you were advertising outside of Disney. Who was the woman that was advertising for you? Was it Kit?
That was Kat Cressida. Yes,
Kat Cressida.
She does the voice of the bride in the Haunted Mansion.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So she appeared, and you were giving away tickets, and you were, trying to stir creative genius to come up with a new blend and a new name. So I entered in something, and of course I completely missed the whole process of it, and I entered in something that wasn't even related to the title of what you were trying to look for, but I still think it's a good idea. So I'm going to pitch
There's
it to
a
you
shock.
Yeah, I'm going to pitch it to you right now, Eric, so you can put this in the back of your mind if you're ever brewing. Okay,
please don't hold this against us.
Here's my idea. Call it the Ghost Roast, but it's got to be spelled R-H-O-S-T, like the Ghost Host. And it was a dark chocolate black raspberry flavored coffee.
Believe it or not, I actually remember that entry.
Do you really?
We did go through all of them. There were a couple hundred, and we went through all of them. And my wife's like, that one's not a bad idea. It's not what we're looking for right now, but that's not a bad idea. And we actually do have that written down still.
I'm giving it to you.
That's awesome.
I'm giving it to you. You don't need to give me credit for it, but you made my day. You remember the entry. Yes. So, fabulous. Tell me your Disney memories and your love of Disney. Where did that come from?
Growing up, you know, I grew up in New Jersey here, so we would always go down to, Walt Disney World, usually every other year as a family trip. And my wife as well, she would be down there, you know, growing up as well every year, every 2 years. So we have a lot of, you know, love and history of going to Disney World. I actually proposed to her in Disney World.
Oh, man.
And yeah, so... probably about our 10th anniversary, we decided to finally go out to Walt's Park and go out to California and really fell in love with Disneyland out there.
Okay, good. I want to stop you right there. So compare and contrast, because I just made my first visit to Disneyland, and there was something so special about Disneyland that, and I'm a Walt Disney World addict. We sleep, drink, eat, podcast Walt Disney World, but I went to Disneyland and it opened my eyes. It was almost indescribable. And the differences and similarities obviously are immense. So tell me about Disneyland. What'd you think?
Yeah. Like I said, when we went, it was, let's say, about 7-8 years ago. So it still wasn't as crowded. Now it's become more of a, you know, vacation destination, like they've wanted to, kind of like Disney World. Mm-hmm. But it was not that crowded. And yeah, there was just something, you know, you could say magical about walking down Main Street there, knowing that, you know, Walt himself, you know, had a hand in everything that went on there, you know, unlike Disney World, which was really Roy's park for the most part. So. Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's just something special about it, and we've been lucky enough to do a lot of backstage stuff and see his apartment upstairs of the firehouse, which was very, very special.
Okay. So I want to ask you about your coffee, but before that, what's your attraction at Disneyland? What is the one you're not missing?
As far as what? I'm sorry.
As far as going on it, what attraction are you? What ride are you going on that you're absolutely not going to miss when you go there the next time?
It's always Jungle Cruise.
The Jungle Cruise. Would it be the same over at Walt Disney World?
Usually, yeah, because that's something we've got to hit every time.
Good, good. All right, so can I ask you about your coffee process here? I'm really interested. How do you get your beans? Where do you get your beans from?
Well, we have a buyer. We work with a roaster that's kind of a co-op. So we can go in and we can roast our own. They have nice facility there. They have a couple of small batch roasting spots. So we can go in, roast our own. They are also able to handle roasting as well if we're not able to do it, since this is still just a side part-time business for us. So we can't always, meet demand and roast every day. So they handle a lot of that for us. And they also do the buying for us. We tell them what we're looking for. And they, go out through their buyers and are able to get the coffees. Sometimes we do a lot of blends, especially with the flavored coffees, just lend themselves to being a blend.
Mm-hmm.
And most of them come from, Central and South America, some from Africa. But we do have some single roast, single origin roast, like our Colombian. That all comes from a single farm. And we're going to be expanding that. We're going to bring on, again, another themed coffee coming up in a new year that'll probably be a Guatemalan. So we're branching out.
Okay. And is that where they flavor the coffee as well, too? Or do you guys flavor it at your own facility?
Nope, they do everything right there. They actually have a unique special equipment flavoring machine there that, unlike most companies, they'll either dump it in by hand or have some huge bin that stirs everything. They have a nice little almost hand grind and flavoring system there. And what we like to do is have them, and when we're there, just lightly flavor our coffees. So you're not getting hit with, if it's the banana or the praline, you don't open it up and taste it and you're just getting hit in the face with just the flavor.
Mm-hmm.
We want to be able to taste that, that premium coffee that it's based upon.
How do you select the flavors? What's the process for that? Because you've got some original. I never would think of banana and coffee as going together, but you know what? It does. It works magnificently. How do you select them?
We have a manufacturer that has some standard flavors, and then they'll also create custom flavors for us as well. So we started with some of their stock ones, and believe it or not, the banana pie was a stock flavor. And we thought it was kind of odd, but I'm like, that's got to be Jungle Cruise. And we got a sample, we roasted some with it, and it was surprisingly really, really good. And it's actually my wife's favorite coffee still of all time. And that's what we look for. Look at either the artwork or what we're trying to pay homage to.
Mm-hmm.
And what would work with that if it's something that they have or something that we want to create that's a little bit different. And, we're kind of known now for our unique flavors, and our customers really seem to enjoy all the weird stuff that we come up with.
I wouldn't say weird. I would say original. That's why I found you, right? Stacey, Pete, I've been hogging the conversation. You guys got a list of questions.
No, that's okay.
Yeah, please.
Well, I was going to ask, so Eric said his wife's favorite blend was the banana. What is your favorite blend, Eric?
I'm actually not a flavored coffee guy. My wife is. I'm more of just, give me a roast from, some different origins and stuff. I love trying new coffees from all over. So that's why we're going to start bringing on some other, what would be standard coffees that are non-flavored.
What do you think is the correct amount of coffee should be drunk a day? How much do you think you obviously own a coffee company, but what's a good amount of coffee to drink per day? So of course I'm probably going to dwarf that, but that's okay. So,
as much as you can possibly consume would be great for us. But we usually—I mean, myself—I drink maybe 4 cups a day. It's not, nothing too crazy.
Okay. So I did notice this. You don't have a decaf coffee, currently.
We do now.
You do. Okay. I don't see it. Which coffee is the decaf coffee?
We actually brought on about 5 of our flavored coffees are available in decaf now. So if you select the coffee itself, there's an option whether it comes in decaf or not.
Oh, fabulous. So when I ordered, I don't remember if that was an option, but to be honest, yeah, I don't even know if I would have picked it.
Beginning of October.
Okay. Excellent. Let me ask you, your artwork is amazing. Who does your artwork?
We actually work with a couple of different artists. Original artist that we started with is Mario Graziati, and he's done most of our bags. Mm-hmm. And then Gavin Otteson he's the one that did the contest bag, the Happily Never After, as well as the Snow White-inspired coffee, of course, our Poison Apple. And then we've also had Rob Yeo, who's done the Redhead Rum. And those are the 3 main artists we've been working with. If you look on the back of the bags, you can see who did that particular artwork. And, of course, definitely look them up because they do some, you know, great art and sell a lot of their art as well.
You sell, essentially the coffee bag as just a print too, correct?
Yeah, most of them we have as a nice 12 by 18, you know, good size. And those are available in, you know, nice poster art prints, as well as we do some graphic tees that have, you know, some of that artwork on there as well, along with, you know, some of our logo and sweatshirt and tees too.
Okay. Pete, did you have something?
Actually, I was going to ask Eric, how do you come up with your designs? It's like, I'm a huge Mansion fan, so the fact that you have 2 Mansion coffees is very cool to me. But, like, is it based off flavor, or do you just kind of tell the artist, say, here's the flavor, what can you come up with? Or do you tell them, say, look, we need something for, you know, Expedition Everest. Come up with an idea.
It depends. The original ones, I had a lot of the ideas that, hey, I wanted to look like this, or at least have, you know, this theming. And the artists have been great with, you know, kind of reading my mind, been like, here, how's this? I'm like, perfect. And other times, you know, I kind of have a vague idea that, hey, we want to do something, you know, to this theming and, you know, show me what you can do. And, you know, we might change it a little bit from there. And other times I'm just like, hey, I want something like this. You know, you're on your own, go create something. And they've been able to do that as well. We've got one going on like that. One of our artists, Gavin, he kind of wanted to create something and had an idea. And I said, sure, come up with something. So he's working on that now, and that'll be available in the new year.
Fabulous. That was one of the questions I had later on, is what's in stock for the new year? Do you have bringing in new coffee, bringing in tea potentially, or you know, maybe a K-cup variety? I know you sell the little refillable K-cup type things on your site, but do you have anything in stock that you could let us know about for next year?
Yeah, we actually had some K-cups when we were Smiling Dog, but they're so expensive to produce, and what the customer is actually paying for is really a lot of the cardboard and packaging. Okay. So it's not really worthwhile. That's why we stopped doing that and did a lot of research on the reusable K-cup pods. Mm-hmm. And the ones we have we found that, you know, work the best and give the best flavoring in a, you know, single brew, quick brew system. But yeah, we have about 4 to 5 new coffees coming out that we're currently working on. We're still in the artwork stages, and we're hoping to get the first ones released sometime in February, and they'll be released probably 1 every month.
Okay, let me ask you some advice then. From coffee drinker to coffee drinker, I have those reusable K-cups myself, but I can't ever seem to get it, like, it doesn't taste the same as a French press or even as a drip maker. How much coffee do you use? Do you actually fill it all the way to the top, or what is the proper amount?
Yeah, I mean, you're not going to get something as good as tasting as, you know, a French, you know, French press or anything like mm-hmm. that. But, you know, it's good, quick and dirty. You know, I use it sometimes myself too, even though most of the stuff we do is in a French press. Mm-hmm. But yeah, the reusable K-cups that we sell, you know, fill it right to the top, and, you know, even just tap it down a little bit. And so you're getting as much coffee in there. And with the ones that we have that aren't meshed the whole way around, it also kind of forces the water to stay in there a little bit longer and extract the, you know, the coffee oils. So
yeah, I'm looking at it right now. Mine does not look like that. I have mesh all the way around. So every cup that I drink from the K-cup that I fill, it tastes so weak, and it's not vile, but it's really close to vile. But yours doesn't. You have a lot of mesh, but you have a lot of plastic around that as well too. So it would slow the process down and force it to steep a little longer. So
right,
excellent.
And one of the little tricks too is if you want to lower the temperature on your Keurig brewer to the lower setting, okay, it actually helps.
Interesting, I didn't know that. Would you suggest? Well, let's say this. So French press would be obviously number one, and then coffee drip would be number two. The mm-hmm. Keurig in your mind, that's just quick and convenient, but not necessarily for the best. Is that the correct order of succession there, or how do you brew besides like a French press? Use an AeroPress, or what else have you tried?
We have an AeroPress. We use that sometimes. Otherwise, it's kind of just a drip coffee maker when we're doing, you know, larger pots of coffee when we have friends or family over. Mm-hmm. You know, the Keurig is more for, you know, just, hey, I need something really quick or or I'm running out the door type thing.
Okay. Stace, I got about another 35 questions. No, I'm just joking. So what do you got?
Do you have any, are all your coffees basically the same caffeine content, obviously besides decaf? You know, I don't want to make myself seem crazy, but I work with kids every day. So I look to have, I kind of look for the higher caffeine coffees when I drink it. Do you have any suggestions? Are there any coffees that are higher in caffeine than others?
Not really. Most of the coffees that are produced from Arabica beans, they all have about the same caffeine content. Coffees that are made with Robusto beans, which are the other type of coffee bean, those have the higher caffeine content.
Okay.
But they tend to be a little bit more bitter. Mm-hmm. That's why they're usually not used as much. But the roasting process on those are getting much better, and you know, being able to make them not as bitter. So, but right now we're sticking with what we have with the Arabica beans because they're a nice, you know, flavorful coffee. And depends on the region that they're grown in. You know, some are more floral, some are more, you know, chocolatey. So it all depends.
Tell me about this cool bag you've got. This coffee resealable bag now. What made you do that?
Well, we started off with the normal, you know, the craft kind of coffee bags with the tin ties and just the nice, you know, the artwork just printed on a little label mm-hmm. and slapped on there. And we kind of wanted to take it to the next, you know, that next level and, you know, really be able to let us, you know, experience the artwork, you know, completely all over the bag. So we found these nice stand-up pouches, so they're great for also, you know, you can stick them on your countertop or at your office or whatnot, and they display well as well. And, yeah, they stand up, and they've got a nice little pull tag on them that behind that's a little Ziploc, so it makes it easier to keep the coffee as fresh as well. So once you're done, kind of squeeze the bag closed, you know, zip it closed, and then you can squeeze it a little bit more. There's a one-way air valve, so get all that air out of there, and the coffee also stays fresher longer.
Do you put your coffee in the fridge or in the freezer? I had heard, you know, I think that's probably an old wives' tale, but where do you store your coffee?
Room temperature, just on the counter. Never, ever put it in the refrigerator or freezer. That's what, you know, grandmas and, you know, even my parents used to do. They mm-hmm. used to think it'd keep it fresher, but it actually makes it go bad quicker because it's building up condensation in there, and that condensation then rots the coffee because really, you know, the oxygen and everything, you know, that's what causes the decay.
You know, I had heard that, you know, there's been arguments, but like when you Google it, it's overwhelming that that's obviously the worst place for it. But I just wanted to know a professional's view of where to store your coffee. So
yeah, we even put it on the side of our bag with our brewing instructions and storage instructions. Cool. Never put it in the refrigerator.
Pete, I've got two more questions because Eric's been good enough. I feel like I'm peppering him with questions. What do you got for him, Pete? You got any questions for him?
Well, I'm pretty sure he's not going to answer my question, which is going to be, you know, what flavors are coming next, because it wouldn't be good business if you were going to do that. So,
well, I hear dark chocolate black raspberries on the drawing board right now.
It's still on the back burner there. Yes. So, and we actually have something similar to that coming out. So we might have to change your flavoring a little bit. But yeah, something in a chocolate raspberry will be coming out soon.
Cool. Talk about your seasonal brews,
too. Oh, sorry.
No.
I would actually like to know if know, what the next attraction's going to be that he's using.
Oh, we can't reveal that.
Oh, that's a great question. That's a great question, too, Pete. Well, okay, let's segue to that. Let's talk about your seasonal brew or your newest brew right now.
Yeah, the newest one is our winter edition, which is, we kind of wanted to do kind of like a chocolate candy cane, and we went with the small world theming, since they do a nice, you know, winter theming, you know, Christmas theming there. And that's the happiest brew that ever sailed, and it's a, you know, chocolate candy cane, peppermint mocha flavored coffee.
You did have a fall one too, though, right? You had a fall one. I'm disappointed. I'm looking on your coffees right now, Eric,
yes.
And I can't find it. And I'm disappointed not to see it there.
Well, of course, we did our take on a pumpkin spice, and that was actually Jack Skellington themed. Mm-hmm. That was the Pumpkin King spice, but that'll be back next year. We had to kind of cut the run on that short a little bit because we were changing over to the new bags, and we didn't have that in the new style yet.
Oh, okay.
But, yeah, because our artists had to go back and completely redo. A lot of times they updated the whole artwork itself to, you know, to be able to fit on the new bags.
Okay. Pete and Stacy, you guys got anything else besides? I'm going to take them in a different direction here for a second, but do you have anything else for coffee-wise?
No, I think everything that I had on my list has been answered either with your questions or just with conversation, so it's been great.
Because I wouldn't stop talking, I know. Do you have anything else for Eric?
No, I do love the fact that from what I can see, what I saw, all of the coffees are gluten-free, allergen-free. So, I mean, even flavor-wise, you know, if somebody's allergic to something, if you really just got to have that coconut flavor in your life, but you're not supposed to have coconut, apparently this is the way to go about it.
Yes, we wanted to make sure that, you know, we offered something that, you know, everyone could drink and enjoy. So they are all gluten-free as well as allergen-free. And they're even certified kosher as well, just for the heck of it.
Okay. So, Eric, I'm going to take you in a different direction here. I want to bring this show to a close, and you've been awesome just to give us this much time. So you've been to Walt Disney World a bunch of times. So I'm just going to ask you a few questions. And this is kind of going to flesh out the conversation. Rank me the parks, 1 through 4, please, if you would.
Of Disney World?
Yes, please.
I would have to go with, of course, the Magic Kingdom.
Okay.
And then I would go with Animal Kingdom, Epcot, and then MGM or whatever they're calling it these days. That might change once they actually get finished with all the construction over there.
Okay. So Animal Kingdom moved up. Why is that? Because usually Epcot is viewed as number 2 and sometimes number 1.
The last time we were in Epcot was probably about 2 years ago. It was very dated, very run down. I know that they're pumping a lot of money into it now, so we'll have to wait and see.
Mm-hmm. And Animal Kingdom is, I mean, there's no doubt, it may be one of the most naturally beautiful parks. I know, obviously, it's created to look natural, but as far as scenery and as far as flora and fauna, it could be the most beautiful one. So, agree with that. You said you were a Disney historian, correct?
Correct.
All right. So, we have one last question. Pete, you want to give that question to this gentleman before we stop here?
Sure, what's the question?
Okay, here's your question.
Make one up.
No. He's got a question. He's forgotten this. He hasn't given this question out for about...
You know, you're right. We haven't had any brand new guests for a while.
Yeah, so let's spring it upon Eric. Go ahead.
Okay, so I don't know if you remember a year or so back, Mega Millions was like over $1 billion.
We didn't win.
Yeah, unfortunately, as you can tell by our setup here.
Well, neither did I, so.
What we had thought up was if we had one, we decided we were going to open a fifth park, and it was going to be the extinct attractions and restaurant park. What one extinct attraction would you add to the park?
Feel free. We don't even need to know about what anyone else has put into the park. What one attraction or restaurant would you bring back?
Adventures Through Inner Space. Always wanted to go on that, and of course, you know, it was never, you know, it was well past being closed and taken out by the time, you know, I was old enough.
That's interesting. That one hasn't been mentioned yet.
No, it hasn't.
Wow.
It always just seemed like a cool concept, and, you know.
Excellent. So, let's bring this to a close. So, if people wanted to contact you, give us some of your social media addresses so they know how to find you.
Well, you can, you know, shop our site. It's TraderSamsCoffee.com. And then we're on, you know, most of the social media platforms, on Facebook at Trader Sam's Coffee, on Instagram as Trader Sam's Coffee, and on Twitter as Trader Sam's CC, since we can't have enough characters to make our whole coffee name.
There you go. Okay, and you had something cool you were going to offer us, correct?
Correct. For all your listeners out there, we're offering 20% off their first order with us. And that's with code DUBDE20, DUBDEE20.
That's awesome. And I know you'll get at least one order from me, and it might be oversized, comically oversized. So, Stacy, Pete, before we let Eric go enjoy his dinner, do you have any last questions?
No, just I'm very thankful that you came on.
Cool.
Oh, Pete? Glad to be here.
No, I'm looking forward to I'm probably going to get some artwork at least.
Yeah, no doubt. They look really fabulous, don't they?
I mean, you know me. My office is nothing but Disney artwork, so
that's right. All right. So, Eric, thank you for joining us. If you wanted to contact Pete or myself, use our Facebook page, which is the WDW Review. You can also search us out by our names. Stacy as well. If I could speak for you, I know you can find Stacy on Facebook at Stacy Nyman. Stacy, you don't have a Twitter account right now, but you got an awesome Instagram account too, correct?
I do. I think I have Twitter too, but I could not tell you even what it was. So I'll have to have that ready for next time. But yeah, I'm on Instagram also, I think just under Stacy Nyman, I think.
Okay. So again, for listening, for joining us, for downloading, we appreciate it. And remember, during the Christmas season, DUBDE20 at Trader Sam's Coffee. Eric, thank you for joining us. Everyone,
it's a pleasure, guys.
Have a great day.
See ya.
Bye-bye.